expecting the Messiah. Well, it's the fourth Sunday of Advent. Actually, I'm going to move over here. It won't echo so much. And then you can see the screen without my ugly mug. So the wait is nearly over. It's almost here. Boxing Day. I can hardly wait. Cold turkey, pickles, bubble and squeak. That's the food, not me when I've eaten it. leftover Christmas pud. My mum used to fry slices of leftover Christmas pud in butter. Serve them up sprinkled with demerara sugar and a big dollop of whipped cream. Heart attack. Heart attack on a plate. Not a calorie in sight as long as you closed your eyes. But waiting for Christmas. We spend a lot of our lives waiting, don't we? It's a British thing, I know. As kids, waiting to be old enough or big enough. Waiting for a bus pass, for some of us. Waiting for the bus. Waiting for a hospital appointment. Test results. So for some people, it might be waiting for the right numbers on the lottery or premium bonds. Waiting for life to get better. Waiting for something. Waiting in the supermarket queue. Waiting in the post office. Waiting, waiting, waiting. You'd think with all this waiting, we'd be good at it, wouldn't you? But we're not. But waiting for Christmas. When I was a child, that wait seemed interminable. I had an advent calendar, and that helped, opening the doors each day, helped me keep track of progress towards Christmas Day. Yeah, I do like Christmas Day as well. Of course, it wasn't an advent calendar like we have these days. There was no chocolate behind the doors, not even the Christmas Day door, just a little picture. Maybe a robin or a snowman or a little parcel all wrapped up with a bow on the top. But then the excitement, opening that big double door on Christmas Day. And in the middle of the advent calendar, not a piece of chocolate, but a picture of the baby Jesus in the manger. At last the day had come. He's here. Of course, if Jesus had been born in 2019, it might have looked a little bit like this. Can I have the next picture, please, Ruth? Well, there's a few more pictures. We'll just go through them and I'll just point out little details, little subtleties. But you see, the stable's got a solar panel on the roof. You'd like to go down to the next one, Ruth. And there's Joseph taking a selfie and Mary's got an off-the-shoulder jumper and a coffee doing a pose. And then the next one. There's the three wise men on their segways with Amazon boxes. And then the next one. And then I suppose he's the shepherd with the sheep. He's got his iPad and his headphones on. The sheep is, the cow is 100% organic. The sheep's got a woolly jumper on, and the manger there, it says gluten-free feed. Is that the last of them? Last of the funny ones. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we'll go on to the next one then, please. Yeah, I saw that the other day, and I thought I'd share that with you. I think that was brilliant. Touch of genius. Yeah. But can you imagine what it was like for the people of Israel, waiting for the birth of Jesus? Of course, they didn't know that was going to be his name. But they did know he would be their Messiah, the anointed one of God, their Saviour. As we heard in that first reading from Isaiah that Pat brought us, he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. But the Jews had little or no concept of what that really means. Fully human, but also fully God. living amongst us. They didn't understand what it would mean, but they waited, hoping for their Messiah. And then they waited, and they waited some more, and then they waited a bit more. And every so often there would be another prophecy down those hundreds of years, pointing to the coming of the Messiah. And each time they had another prophecy, they waited some more. And then they waited a bit longer. And then some. But then, the prophecies stopped coming. Silence. From heaven. Not a word from heaven. Not a word from God. For nearly 400 years. Nada. Not a whisper. Silence. I imagine that their sense of expectation might have waned just a little bit. Will this long-expected Messiah ever come at all? And then, suddenly, Dennis Mahon was talking about that the other week, wasn't he? The suddenlies of God. Suddenly, an angel comes to speak. First to Zechariah, the priest, working in the temple, to announce the birth of John the Baptist, who would be the Elijah that would herald the coming Messiah. And then, a few short months later, the same angel appears to the young girl Mary, probably still in her teens, maybe 14 or 15 years old, promised in marriage to Joseph, but still single, still a virgin, to tell her she is to have a baby. And that this baby will be Israel's saviour, their Messiah. But it's all a bit understated, isn't it, really? This birth of Jesus thing. Yeah, okay. Some of the circumstances were, well, a bit unusual. A bit weird. You know, angels. Wise men with strange gifts. A virgin conceiving. That's a bit unusual. But other than that, it was mostly pretty ordinary stuff. No doubt there were plenty of other young girls having babies in Israel in those days, and it wouldn't have been uncommon for them to be in their mid-teens. Perhaps some of them weren't married, although it would have been hushed up for fear they'd get stoned to death. Shepherds. Nothing unusual about shepherds in that day in Israel. Even today, there's still quite a few shepherds in Israel out on the hills. Wise men, not so much. But certainly, Arab traders from the east wouldn't have been unusual. Spice routes, they've been trading those routes with their caravans of camels for centuries, even then. With spice and exotic cloth, silk from China. Nothing unusual there. Wouldn't you have thought, given that this event, the birth of Jesus, the most important event in all the history of mankind, don't you think, you know, God actually coming down and intervening in our world, don't you think he'd have made a bigger thing of it? I know there was no 6 o'clock news, no internet, no Facebook or Twitter feeds to announce it, no newspapers. But even so, surely the all-powerful, almighty God could have made a bigger entrance than that. Little baby, born in a stable, in poverty, laying in a manger, in an insignificant little village about 6 miles out of Jerusalem, little backwater of the Roman Empire. No wonder the Jews mostly missed it. They were expecting a mighty warrior, an all-conquering king who would overturn the rule of the Romans and re-establish Israel as the nation God intended it to be. But all they got was this little baby. Anyway, that was over 2,000 years ago. It's done and dusted. What are we waiting for now? Why do we have this season of Advent? What's the point of it? Why do we need to prepare? We're just celebrating a historic event that took place 2 millennia ago. Yes, we need to get the food shopping done, the cards written and posted, some gifts wrapped up, but what's the big deal about preparing for Christmas in this way? Remember something I said right at the beginning of this service. There are over 300 prophetic references to Jesus in the Old Testament that speak of his coming as the Messiah. And against all the trillions of trillions of trillions to one odds, all but about 20 of them have been fulfilled during his time on earth. But what about the other 20? There are around 20 prophecies that speak about something that hasn't happened yet. We sometimes call it the end times, when Jesus will come again to walk upon this earth. And every single one of these prophecies must be fulfilled. And we can trust that they will be fulfilled because of all the others that have been fulfilled already. God's word is reliable and trustworthy. Jesus is coming back again. Can we get a louder amen?
Amen.
Jesus is coming back again. But this time, it isn't going to be quiet. It isn't going to be tucked away in a stable in a little village out in the sticks as a baby. This time, he will make that big entrance, coming on the clouds in splendor and glory so that every eye shall see him. Not as a tiny helpless baby, but as that victorious, all-conquering king who will sweep away every earthly government, even ours with its current majority, and every power and authority will be swept away. And instead, he will establish his rule over everything. The government will be upon his shoulders. And it will be a good government. A government of peace. A government of justice. Will you and I be ready? Waiting expectantly when he comes to rule and reign over everything and everyone? Or will we get caught out and overtaken by it all? Could I have that last slide, please, Ruth? Heaven has been silent for nearly 2,000 years. And it is easy for us to become complacent with the waiting. Waiting, waiting, waiting. But have no doubt. As surely and suddenly as Jesus came the first time, he will come again. Suddenly, when nobody's expecting it, he will be here. Here to gather up those who belong to him and to cast aside those who do not. That's a bit of a downer there. But we can't ignore what Scripture says. On this last Sunday of Advent, are you ready to receive Jesus as your Lord, as your Saviour, and your soon coming King? Are you expecting the Messiah? In that first reading, there was a reference to the people walking in darkness, having seen a great light. Are you one of the people walking in darkness today? Now is the time to embrace the light of the world, to put your faith and trust in him, to receive the power to become a child of God, as we heard in that reading from John. I ask you, if you haven't already, make room for him in your heart this Christmas. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to take on human flesh and come to earth as a man, to wear our flesh and our frailty, to carry our sicknesses and our diseases. Thank you that you were willing to come and break the power of sin and death over us on the cross. Thank you that you came to where we are in order to take us to where you are. We look forward to your coming again. Maranatha. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.